The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
Welcome to Tuesday. We thank all of you for being a part of our show. We realize it's a busy day. Thanks for making time for us. And we have a lot in store, including a conversation with the head basketball coach of the number one team in America. Let's get started with some headlines before we get to all of that. And the commissioners in the headlines once again. Greg Sankey played expanded SEC and college football playoff perfectly. That's according to The Athletic. We'll talk to the writer of that article coming up here in just a few minutes. But we'll talk to Barry Trammell in a moment. He wrote this one: with OU and Texas en route, SEC scheduling becomes a priority. We all know the news by now. Oklahoma and Texas getting ready to come into the SEC in just a matter of a year after the season. And let's talk to Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman. Barry, always great to have you, and welcome to the SEC. Good afternoon.
Well, thanks, Paul. Looking forward to it. We got about 30-mile-an-hour winds here today, and my fence just blew over. So hopefully we'll have a little bit better weather when SEC folks come to town for ball games.
Well, we won't keep you. I realize you got some fence mending, as they say in the business. But thanks for being here. It's always great to talk to you. And let's talk about the readiness of OU. A couple of years ago, I wouldn't have asked you this question, but after the maiden voyage of Brent Venables, I feel compelled to say, what's going on out there?
Yeah, it's sort of strange, isn't it? It looked like Sooners, when they made the announcement back in summer 21, looked like, hey, maybe not the level of Alabama and Georgia, but ready to do about anything else. And now you wonder if they can, you know, have a winning record. So the truth is, Oklahoma football is not, they really weren't a 6-7 team last year. They went 0-5 in close games. The year before, they were 11-2. They weren't an 11-2 team. They went 6-1 in close games. So they've been about an 8-4 team, you know, 2 years running is about what they are. And that's not what they want to be going into the SEC. So it's going to be completely up to Venables recruiting. All the signs are positive, but heck, what recruiting signs aren't positive? So, you know, they just need a talent upgrade, and we'll see if he can produce it.
Barry, just in terms of the fans out there, I mean, we heard from some of them July of 21, but that was a long time ago, and I've lost track of the eagerness of the OU fan base. I know the tough season certainly clouds everything, but how would you describe the mood and the appetite for OU fans to come over to the SEC?
Well, still very excited, still overwhelmingly positive. But it's a little bit like maybe joining the Army. You know, when you sign up, it's all great. You're all fired up. But as it gets closer and closer to going to boot camp and maybe to combat, you're a little bit less excited. So reality is starting to set in. If they'd had, you know, two straight Big 12 titles again, which is, you know, they were on a six-year run, I think, when they made this announcement, you know, would have been a lot more bravado than what we're seeing now. Now there's a whole lot of sort of realization that this is not going to be as easy as maybe it could have been in a previous time. So we'll see how they do. The schedule, of course, is going to determine it. You know, the Sooners will probably be able to at least stand up with anybody as long as it's not Alabama or Georgia. But they're not nearly as confident as they would have been before the last 2 years.
There's been some, not much, but an occasional concern from legends. In fact, we're going to talk to Barry Switzer later this week, and he had a couple of things to say about coming over here. What about you? You've been a big part of covering this program for a long time. You know the capacity. You know the ingredients. Do you think this is the right move? I realize it's too late to worry about it, but here it goes.
No, I mean, I don't think it was the right move on a competitive basis, just from the fact that the consolidation of big time brands and big time programs in college football, I don't think is a good thing. I'd like to see people sort of stay spread out and meet in non-conference, meet in playoffs, and those kinds of things. I just think you've got a bunch of programs that have high standards, and when you consolidate, it's literally impossible for many of those programs to meet that standard, and that's just going to lead to some problems. But they're not. That's not why they're coming. They're coming for money, so they're going to get their money, so it's good for OU. And just as a sort of a fan of college football my whole life, I always thought it was cool to argue about, you know, is the ACC better than the Big Ten? Is the Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12 better than the Big 8, Big 12, whatever? Is the SEC better than the Big Ten? I thought bragging rights was sort of a fun part of the equation. We're not really going to have that anymore. We know who the two best conferences are. We sort of know who the best one is, and we know who number two is, and after that, who really cares? So, to me, it's a little bit of a lesser thing for college football. Now, if this leads to better non-conference scheduling, well, then I'll throw down my sword and say this is a great thing. You know, if we can get where literally everybody's playing good games, 11 out of 12 a year, well, then I salute the whole process. But until we have that, I'm not going to be too excited. To my way of thinking, it is a cool thing for for somebody like Oklahoma and Texas on a big level. For the SEC schools on a smaller level, and that it is fresh blood, it is new faces. I mean, that's one of the cool things about college football is when you do play people that you don't see very often. That's what used to make the bowl games cool. Of course, they're not cool anymore. So, but Oklahoma tour in the SEC is going to be, that's going to be a lot of fun. Georgia or Florida or South Carolina, Kentucky, doesn't matter who. Getting to see Oklahoma or Texas on a semi-regular basis, that'll be sort of, you know, that'll be interesting for the fan base. So there's a lot of good positives to it. I just hope it doesn't have a predominant negative effect on the entire sport, though.
Barry Trammell with us from the Oklahoman. Barry, I don't know exactly what happened that led to this, but the perception is, and I want you to clarify whether it's true or not, that this was Texas's idea and Oklahoma just went along. Even though I believe very strongly, and I've had this conversation with you, that going back 8 or 9 years ago, Oklahoma was contemplating the SEC even while Texas was not. Can you square all that for us, at least to your best judgment?
Yeah, I don't think that one side or the other, in this case particularly Texas, said, let's go and you go with us. I do think Texas had a little bit more incentive to be interested in the SEC than Oklahoma did for two reasons. One is things were going so much better for the Sooners than they were for the Longhorns. You know, Texas hadn't won the Big 12 since 2009. They really only had one, what you'd call standout year during that time. They went 9-4, beat Georgia in that Sugar Bowl of 19, I think it was, season. Things weren't going great in Austin football-wise. They, for the most part, until the last 2 years, they have been going great in Norman. The other thing is, I do think long-term that Texas really worried about A&M. And while the Aggies really aren't winning much more than they ever did, they do have a much higher recruiting profile. They've been recruiting much more successfully. And I think I think A&M sort of had some bragging rights. You know, I'm sure it's this way in Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina, any place that's got arch rivals within the state, but particularly in Texas, which is such a sort of a, you know, braggadocious type of state, a lot of influential people sharing offices, and college football has become sort of a battleground of people just talking, and A&M, without playing, you know, they hadn't played in never how many years, 11 years, 12 years, A&M sort of got the jump on them just from a prestige standpoint, from being in the SEC, and I think that sort of probably motivated Texas to to facilitate this move more than maybe, say, Oklahoma, which hasn't really had to play that game, that in-state rivalry game.
Barry, finally, we had Chris Del Conte on the other day, and he talked about naturally playing A&M. He wants to see that game revved up again. Nobody would dare undo the OU-Texas game. What about Oklahoma? Obviously, Texas is on the board, but there are a lot of schools close to you, at least closer to you than to maybe some other places. What would fit Oklahoma in terms of natural games if we end up going to the four-team pods, which would mean Oklahoma would play Texas, and who else would the Sooner fans want to see on a regular basis?
Well, the Sooners themselves, the OU brass, they would sign up for Arkansas and Missouri very quickly because, you know, they've started playing Missouri in the teens, in the 19-teens, and were in a league with Missouri for, you know, a century, basically. And then Arkansas, Fayetteville to Norman is 243 miles, and they never play each other. I think OU last went... 1919 was the last time the Sooners played at Fayetteville.
It's been a while.
But yeah, been a while. So I think OU would take Arkansas, Missouri, and Texas, and I think the rest of the SEC would say, I bet you would. So, I don't expect the Sooners to get that trio. Some people think A&M in Oklahoma because of the Big 12 ties, but I don't know that A&M, I think A&M probably would prefer LSU. From what I've read, I don't claim inside knowledge on
that.
That's
a big game.
It seems to me, a lot of other people have done this, I've done it, put a pencil to it. It seems like maybe the Sooners could get handed a sort of a non-traditional type annual rival, somebody like Florida. Because the Gators, besides Georgia, doesn't appear to be somebody that's sort of a natural among, especially among the people we consider the upper crust of the SEC. So I think it wouldn't surprise me if the Sooners ended up with somebody like Texas, Florida, and Missouri as the annual rival. That sounds like maybe something that would be a compromise for everything.
Well, Barry, what's really cool is asking questions like that, because in the SEC, you know all the answers. I wasn't really sure. I mean, I knew the connection, past connection, but I wasn't 100% sure how it would go. So this is going to be quite an education for all of us. We deeply appreciate you making time for us, and we will see you soon, I hope.
Hey, thanks a lot, Paul.
Barry Trammell, who is literally the voice of the state of Oklahoma, critically important voice and figure out there in the media. A lot happening here on a Tuesday afternoon, and we'll talk to Seth Emerson. If you have not heard the news, Todd Monken leaving Georgia, the offensive coordinator of two national championships, heading to the NFL. Nate Oates will join us. Chris Lowe, on a legendary figure that we will remember in the SEC tonight from the University of Tennessee. And speaking of legendary figures, Larry Templeton will join us as well, the former AD at Mississippi State, about a special cause that he is involved with. We'll take a short break. Back with much, much more.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Says of the number one ranking doesn't mean much, can be rat poison. Where did we hear that before? Meanwhile, cue it up, Blondie. The tide is high. How about this? Best 25-game start since 75? They were number one in the AP poll, first time since 02, and they are the projected number one seed in the tournament. Speaking of number one, Bill Conley's projections, Georgia number one, Ohio State, Michigan, and Alabama. That's blasphemous. Alabama can't be number four, can they? Well, they would be in the Conley's poll, but we know he's a hater. And have you heard the news? Todd Monken, hoping to become Lamar's coach in Baltimore. Mike Bobo ascends, and this is a major test for the dynasty. Did I say that correctly? Georgia trying to win three in a row. It just seems like yesterday. And we will remember Gus Manning this afternoon. Passed away at 99 years old, one of the last links to Robert Kneeland in Knoxville. And let's get to your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. And Ryan is up next in Alabama. Hello, Ryan.
How you doing, Paul? It's 199, Ryan.
199.
Hey, it's Valentine's Day. Ain't nothing but love over here, Paul. I want to give a shout-out to my wife, if you don't mind. She's had a birthday. She's pregnant with my second son, and it's Valentine's Day, so I love you, Anna Ray.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And by the way, it is Valentine's Day, of course. And if somehow you failed to get your significant other something, you can shout them out on the show today. We won't even charge. We'll take donations. John is up next.
Yeah, I think I'll save some money. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Noted.
Hey, Paul, that opening interview was kind of a Debbie Downer.
I'm glad you said I need some time to process. Barry Trammell, and I won't speak for him. He doesn't seem like he's happy about this move, does he?
Not at all. And he's willing to play Texas, but could you throw in Arkansas, Missouri, and maybe Florida? I'm surprised he didn't ask for Vanderbilt to be part of that annual rival games.
You know, John, I thought Texas was going to be the issue. Oklahoma has emerged now as we really don't like this. I think it's more about what they've been through recently. I think, and this is just my theory on this, but you correct me. Until the SEC came along, everything was copacetic out in Norman with Lincoln Riley, and here comes the SEC, and Lincoln says, I'm out of here. And now they have Brent Venables.
And now we're dragging them screaming and shouting into the SEC. And by the way, he talked about improvement in the non-conference games.
Yeah.
You better look at the schedule because he plays Michigan twice in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understood that very well, considering you're getting rid of some of the trash at the bottom of the Big 12 for Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, just minor league bottom feeders like that.
Yeah, I'm going to go over that S&P 500 from ESPN, but yesterday you talked about the great commercials. The Jesus commercials were great. But did you see the Tubi commercial where your TV went whack?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's the one where it starts with the Fox announcers, then it changes channels, then it starts streaming through different apps.
Right.
Yeah, my daughter, I yelled at my daughter, I said, put the remote down. She said, I'm not doing it. I said, well, you're sitting on it. And then we finally realized it, and it was like, what the hell just happened? Yeah. It's like a call from AC.
Yeah, no, I thought he had dropped by the house.
No. So that S&P 500, Paul, it starts with Georgia, makes sense, then Ohio State, Michigan,
Alabama.
Yeah, by
the way, it's up today after the CPI report. Yeah.
Yeah. Penn State, Tennessee, LSU, Oregon, Texas, USC. Here's what I find interesting. You start with Georgia, they're going to, and I think they did well, but they're going to start with a new quarterback, a new OC. Ohio State's starting with a new quarterback and a new OC. Michigan's copacetic, and they have a returning quarterback that's got a lot of potential. Alabama, new OC, new DC, new quarterback. Penn State does America's James Franklin's in charge. Tennessee with, Joe Milton, who couldn't make it the first 5 years. He seems like, he's the next man up, but he's not proved anything in his first 5 years. But LSU, Oregon, Texas, USC, all returning quarterbacks, which I think is very promising for the bottom four, don't you?
Yes, I would agree with you.
Okay, well, that's it for the day.
Thank you very much. Dustin is up next in Tulsa. Hey, Dustin.
Good morning and happy Valentine's from Tulsa, Paul.
Thank you.
Hope you guys are having a great day. Hey, listen, speaking of Valentine's, I've actually got to get down to Pell City because I'm taking AJ's sister to Red Lobster, man. She loves those cheddar bacon. Okay. AJ, if you're listening, it's just a joke. And my God, if you do have a sister, man, I hope she's alive and well. Otherwise, I've got an apology on deck for Wednesday already. Conference realignment, man. It was kind of nice to hear Barry Trammell say what he did. I'm not really all that enthused about Oklahoma coming in anyway. I don't particularly like Oklahoma. I live in a sea of Sooners. I don't like the team. I don't care for Texas. Hell, I didn't even want Texas A&M and Missouri to come in. I think it changes things. Like, all the articles I'm reading, they're guessing that Arkansas will draw Texas, Missouri, and somebody said Mississippi State on 247 today. We don't want that. I mean, why did Texas A&M get to come in and displace our, you know, yearly end-of-year game with LSU? Like, we like that rivalry. Like, it's fun to play LSU. Nobody gives a damn about Missouri and that stupid trophy that they created to just kind of, I don't know, satiate us. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't want to lose these rivalries. I'd rather play Texas, LSU, and Ole Miss because there's a decent amount of bad blood between us and Ole Miss. That's a fun game.
Dustin, you make some fair points, and I understand it. I've now seen this will be the, you know, we've seen in the 90s Arkansas, South Carolina, and then Missouri and A&M, and now we're about to see this. So it's I think it's progress, and I'm with each iteration, things change. It takes time, though. The difference between Oklahoma and Texas, and I think in everyone else, is that they were more coveted, I believe, than some, but it's still going to take some growing pains, except the difference is everything is going to change. It's not just the idea of playing or not playing. I mean, think about all the games that are going to go off the board, the games that have been on the schedule forever. I don't know which ones those are going to be yet, but when you have East versus West, you play the same school every year. Some of those games are great, and some of them really aren't. So it is a major shift. Let's head to the break, passing along some really terrible news from Michigan. By now, you have certainly heard about the tragedy last night at Michigan State, and the university has decided to cancel for now all the athletic events for this week.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's grab some calls. And Rick in Houston, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Paul. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your wife.
Thank you very much.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about LSU basketball, both the men and women. First question is, do you think Scott Woodward made a mistake with the McMahon hire? And then the second question is, do you think that anything less than a national championship for Kim Mulkey will be a failure?
Yeah, I think on the men's side, I think it's way too early to make a judgment. And you know, you go through a lot of things in a first year. I think the fact that it's been so uneven would lead people to wonder. I think Kim Mulkey has already elevated that program. I don't think LSU basketball is built on national championship or bust. It's always been a good program. She's turned it into an elite program that's already played on a major stage in the first 2 years. So I happen to think he's a good athletic director. I think you look at what he did in football, baseball, and other sports. Things are percolating down there.
Paul, I agree with you. I think Scott Woodward's probably one of the best athletic directors in the nation, especially since he saddled A&M with Jimbo Fisher for us.
Yeah, no, I think ultimately that may be his greatest gift to LSU.
I agree with you. Well, hey, listen, that's all I got for today. I watched the game Sunday, and you know, it went about as how I expected. I just think that Coach Mulkey's probably a couple of recruiting classes away from being able to contend with Coach Staley.
Well, don't forget, I mean, and Dawn Staley said it here yesterday, the South Carolina team is going to recalibrate again next year, and I'm not enough of an expert to know, but in losing some of those players, including the best player in the game, things will change a little bit. She knows that. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Dwayne is in Louisiana. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Happy Valentine to you.
Thank you. Same to you. Appreciate the call.
Hey, man, you must be on that fentanyl. I'm talking about that man for LSU. Huh? They need to fire that man.
Really?
You ain't on that fentanyl, huh?
I quit. I ran out.
They need to fire that coach from LSU, man. That man, basketball, man. That man is garbage.
He's only been there for 20 games. Come on.
I don't care. Get rid of him. He has to go. He got to go. Hey, but I don't want to talk about him. I want to talk about this college football, the East and the West. Why not put Alabama and Auburn in the East with Georgia and put Texas and Oklahoma in the West? What, Alabama scared to play Georgia every year? What? What's the problem? Huh?
Now, Dwayne, do you really think Alabama's afraid to play anyone?
Hey, but Georgia? They hate to meet up.
I mean,
with Georgia
do you have any idea what Alabama's record against Georgia is since Nick Saban took over? Kirby only has one win over Saban.
Yeah. But why not put them in the East with Auburn and Alabama to the East and put Texas and Oklahoma in the West?
Well, Dwayne, they're probably not going to. It's probably not going to matter because they're going to divide it up where there's you're not going to have East and West anymore.
Man, that's crazy. But another thing too, Tommy Reese.
Yeah. What about
Notre Dame? Oh, he didn't want to come to LSU, huh? He denied LSU when LSU, but Brian Kelly said he was going to bring him over there. He didn't want to come then.
No.
But soon Nick Saban called for him. He want to run Tuck 10 and run to Alabama, huh?
So, Dwayne, what does that tell you? What does that mean to
Alabama,
you?
Alabama, huh?
Do you blame him?
Well, blame him? Why he didn't want to come with Brian Kelly?
Well, I don't know, but obviously he didn't. He played for Kelly, and he did not want to coach for him anymore.
But the offense that Mr. Paul, but the offense he ran last year in Notre Dame, they were garbage. They were garbage. Huh?
Dwayne, my only response is, where have you been? We need you more often here.
And they garbage. I wouldn't
call it garbage. I'd find
the people were garbage, man.
Maybe a refuse.
Some people lost about 3 games straight.
Unedible things.
You had the defensive coordinator. You had Mark Freeman, the defensive coordinator. He couldn't. The defense couldn't do nothing.
I mean, Dwayne, it wasn't that bad of a year, other than losing to Marshall. And let me think, who else did they lose to? They did beat South Carolina.
What'd you say?
I said Notre Dame did beat South Carolina last year.
Man, that garbage. That's South Carolina hitting on nothing, man. Man, you know good well South Carolina ain't hitting on nothing. You talking about they beat South Carolina. Huh?
They beat somebody else, too. I can't remember.
Put a real team on the schedule. Schedule Georgia, LSU, or...
Dwayne, they opened the season at Ohio State. What do you want?
Oh, they will get the butt whooped. They're going to lose.
They already did that. That was last
That's
year.
A hell. Who they open this year with? Hey, I'll just tell you one thing before I go.
Okay.
Unless you're going to beat Florida State, we're going to beat the number 4 team in the country at the beginning of the
and
season.
And Dwayne, tell me this. What happens
I'm
when...
I'm going to be there.
Okay,
I'm
I hope you
be
are.
There.
And I want you to call me.
I'm going to be there.
Dwayne,
we're going to beat Florida State. We're gonna open the season up, bust a Florida State in the mouth.
Dwayne, tell me this. Later in the year, or early November, when LSU has to go to Tuscaloosa, what's going to happen?
We're going to get them. You got no quarterback. You got nothing over there. They don't have Mr. Pompom, everybody know you love Nick Saban. Yeah, everybody know you love Nick Saban. But, hey, Nick Saban, time to go, baby. It's time for him to get the hell on out of that. And we're going to bust him up. Hey, you know, we coming
bust
back.
Bust him up again.
We're coming back with the best linebacker in the country. We got the best offensive line coming back, the two tackles. We got the right tackle and the left tackle. Gonna be all Americans. We got the best linebacker in the country. Everyone has the best defensive line in the country with Mason Smith and them. Now you gonna see. We gonna bust them up. We gonna the best. We gonna tuck the little and get them. We gonna bust them up in Alabama.
Dwayne, all right. Okay, I will talk to you again soon. You take care of yourself. We'll take a short break. Dwayne, where did he come from? We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls. More guests, including Nate Oates, in the next hour. We're coming right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It's Valentine's Day, and we asked the question, what's your worst Valentine's Day experience? We'd love to hear from you as we move throughout the program. Lee is up next here. Hey, Lee.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to ask you something. I know this probably is not a possibility. But, you know, rivalries are usually born because of geographic proximity and closeness, correct?
Correct.
You say?
Usually.
Well, why don't they, why don't they, Well, how great would it be if the SEC like had the pods, you know, had the three permanent rivals and the nine rotating, but out of the three permanent, they made it all geographic. Like, one would be Florida, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama. One would be Texas, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Missouri. Another would be LSU, Arkansas, Mississippi, Mississippi State. And the fourth one could be South Carolina, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky. Would there be any possibility of something like that happening?
It's possible, but I don't know how the process is working, other than I think everyone has a wish list. And most of those wish lists involve proximity and tradition. So if you did that, you'd have to get a map out and start figuring out who's closest to whom. And, you know, where would you land? Would that be the right way of doing it? I mean, I think right now they're going to try to go through it at least with two natural rivals in the past. And that, you know, I mean, Alabama and Tennessee have played one of the biggest games of the year for 80 years, except they aren't that close to each other.
But Mississippi State and Alabama are.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I think if you look at the SEC, Mississippi State and Alabama are probably closer to each other than any other two schools. I mean, they're about an hour, maybe about 60 miles apart. But that doesn't necessarily mean they get. I think ultimately they'll try to do that. But in today's world, the proximity is not the most important thing. It's finding fair and equitable rivals. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's check in with Bobby in Oxford, Mississippi. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Paul. Happy Valentine's to you and your crew.
Thank you.
Look, I've got a quick story, and it's going to lead into my question. I'll make it as brief as possible if you'll give me a little latitude.
Sure.
All right, so my uncle, Roy Coffey, are you familiar with Dallas or Highland Park?
Yes, of course.
All right, well, my uncle was mayor of Highland Park. His dad created Highland Park. But anyway, he was the attorney for the Dallas Cowboys for a long time, and then him and Roger Staubach went into business together and sold the company for like $600 million or some crazy number. But so I've been sitting around with my uncle. Obviously, I'm an Ole Miss alum, but my brother goes to Texas, get his grad degree. But sit around with my uncle. He's 85 now, but he's like, we have more Texas. It obviously is Texas alum, but he says we have more money than any school in the whole country. And he said. And he's a major booster, obviously. And but so, leading into my question, how do you think that's going to affect things? Because the Texas boosters and alum are just going to double down now that they're in the SEC. And do you believe that's factual, that Texas has the biggest boosters? And B, do you think that now that they're in SEC, they could just outspend everybody?
Well, no, Bobby, I don't think you. They've had the most money in every league they've ever been in, but that always doesn't translate to wins. I mean, they're successful in many respects, but Texas needs continuity more than it needs more money. They've always had the money. Mac is up next. Hey, Mac. Mac, you there?
Yes, Chaplain Mac.
Chaplain, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Mac, we're doing great. Thank you.
Oh, that's good. I just wanted to tell you, y'all talking about the worst Valentine's Day. Well, I think I'm having the best one I've ever had today. My wife, Kathy, and I are spending our 50th Valentine's Day together, and we're about to be married 50 years, March 2nd.
Oh, that is fantastic.
And she went out and bought me the Valentine's Day gift of all gifts. She got us two tickets on the floor there at Auburn tonight against Missouri, and I'm excited about it. I got to have the best wife in the world.
That is that's incredible. If you had said, what do you think the best gift would be? I don't know if I would have come up with that one, but...
Well, you're not an Auburn fan, Paul. I'm an Auburn fan.
You're right.
Go
you're right.
Way back
you're
all
right.
my life.
I wouldn't you know, have. I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yes, sir. Well, I love Auburn. War Eagle.
War Eagle, Chaplain Mack. Best gift ever. Tickets on the floor for tonight's Missouri Auburn game. Happy Valentine's Day to both of you. That's 50 years of marriage. There are a lot of jokes you could inject in there, but congratulations to both of you. We will take a break. We'll talk about the Monken departure, what it means to the Dogs trying to three-peat. Seth Emerson around the corner.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.